We're doing the Sfat Tamim, the Chafetz Chaim's work on the importance of telling the truth. We're up to page Yud Tes in this edition. And the Chafetz Chaim had discussed that one of the causes, one of the reasons that people lie or bend the truth is because they enter debt or they enter the cycle of expenses. People feel like they have to keep up with everyone else. And so people put themselves in a financial bind. People put themselves under financial pressure. And that stress will sometimes push them to do what we call to bend the rules.
What did we learn?
The Sfat Tamim. So the Chafetz Chaim said, if a person would think about what's going on here, he'd realize that you can't take a loan and not pay it back. People think they can default on their mortgages. Who said? You signed a contract to pay. The fact that the bank is going to get stuck with the bill doesn't mean that it's permissible to do it. The Chafetz Chaim says sometimes people even endanger themselves. People sometimes, under the stress, they can have a heart attack. So he doesn't talk about a heart attack. He just talks about the stress that can really wear down a person's health because he entered that cycle of expenses, that stress of financial pressure. But our sages already taught us, you know who's smart? A wise man sees what's coming. He sees it before it comes. Meaning, even when a person feels confident, he has a great job, he has a pivotal role, even then, he has to take concern. He has to realize that things change. And gentlemen, listen to this piece of advice the Chafetz Chaim tells us, because I find that this is one of the big errors that many people do in their life, especially young people, especially people from Machon Meir, especially people who made Aliyah. It's very common that people land a job where they can make ends meet, and they're very happy, and they figure, great, I have it made. And I'm sometimes the party pooper. I come in and I say, I have a question. What kind of job can you take when they fire you? What are you doing to ensure that you're a good candidate in the job market in the long run? So today you got a job which covers your bills, but you're going to get married. Your bills are going to go up. Just figure, how much do diapers cost for a month? How much does formula cost for a month? How much does a babysitter, if your wife's going out to work, how much does that cost for a month? Transportation, rent, electric, water, the bills keep going up. You have more kids, then it goes up some more. So that's healthy. It's the way of life, but you also have to be prepared for it. Very often, guys don't work very hard at the Ulpan, or they drop out of Ulpan because Ulpan is really tough. I understand it. It fizzles your brain. But what happens? Then their Hebrew skills are pretty weak. They go into the job market and they get a good job. A good job meaning they're earning enough to cover their costs as a bachelor, or enough to cover their costs as a young family which barely has expenses. But then the family grows and the expenses grow, and a person finds himself in a corner where he cannot find a better job in this country. And suddenly a person asks himself, wait a second, how do people make ends meet here? And it goes back to that decision when he was younger, where a person either didn't bother getting a better degree, didn't bother getting a better education, didn't bother honing his Hebrew skills. Ezeu Chacham, Chafetz Chaim says, an intelligent person looks to the future. And even when his situation is comfortable, he is concerned, he realizes that things can change. So an alumni of ours called me up this week, and he asked me what I think about a certain job prospect. They were offering him a lot of money per month. They're paying him per week. And I asked him the same question. I said, Baruch Hashem, you have a growing family. I understand this job is an attraction. But I'm asking, where will you be in 5 years when they fire you? So for 5 years, you'll make a good living? Good. But what about getting a good degree on the side? He never finished his college degree. So I say, it's great you landed a good job. But think to the future. You can't assume you're going to have this job till the day you die. And when you'll be searching again in the job market, what are the odds you'll find a job like this?
You get older and they won't want you.
That too. So a person has to look to the future, and a person has to think that things can change. Usually people work the other way. They have a good income, so they go out and buy a house, and they get a high mortgage, and they assume, if I could cover the mortgage now, of course I'll be able to cover it in the future. Who said? Why don't you save up and then pay off the house, pay off 30-40% before, as a down payment, and take a lower mortgage if you're doing so well? And I have to bring you guys the story of Van Vu again. Every year I bring the story of Van Vu. The story of a guy who built up a successful business in North Korea and then was persecuted by the communists, and finally he made it out of North Korea with his wife on a ship to the United States. And when he was on the ship, he was ready to commit suicide, because every time he had built up his business to a thriving business in Korea, every time the government locked him up behind bars. And finally, his wife convinces him, you could do it again. And they make it to the United States, and they go to a relative who owns a bakery. And they ask him if they could sleep in the back of the bakery and sell baked goods and make a living. So he lets them sleep in the back of the bakery, and they sleep in the back of the bakery, and they use the bathroom sink to wash themselves off, and they have very little furniture and very little clothes. But that's where they live, and they go around peddling the goods, and they're making money. So after they have enough money, the wife asks the husband, let's go buy an apartment. And the husband says, let's wait another year. Because if we go and buy an apartment now, what's going to happen is, you buy an apartment, so you need a rug, you need furniture, you need dishes. You're not just going to buy an apartment. Suddenly you're going to enter many expenses. And right now, we have almost zero expenses. We're only making money. We have almost zero expenses, so it's a tough life, and we don't have the amenities of having our own apartment. But if we can tough it out a little bit longer, we'll save up enough that we can actually buy a business, and then we'll be able to afford that house. And that's what they did, and he became a multimillionaire because he worked that way. Meaning the difference very often, the Talmud says, the reason the poor remain poor is because they think they'll never be rich. The reason the poor remain poor is because they think they'll never be rich. So they waste the money they have on the amenities of today because they have no hope for tomorrow. If you thought that by saving 10 shekel here and 10 shekel there, ultimately you'll buy a property in the Golan for 30,000 shekel. You could still buy properties in Israel for 30,000 shekel. So you'd start off. You'd have a property. You'd have another income. But if you think, what's the difference if I spend 10 shekel on the cell phone and 10 shekel on the candy bar and 10 shekel on going out with friends? That's fine. And why should I bother walking? Let me take the bus. It's a difference of 5 minutes, but I'd rather take the bus. We do that all the time. But then we spend that money, that exact money, which could actually be used for an investment, be used for a saving. So the Talmud says, the reason the poor remain poor is because they don't think they'll ever be rich, so they don't save. They say, let me enjoy today, because they have no hope in what tomorrow will bring. So the wealthy, they stop and they think, let me hold on to my money, let me not waste it on all these amenities, because ultimately by saving up and investing, so then ultimately I'll be able to afford these amenities and more without feeling it. Now when the poor man buys his candy bar, he feels it. It's a large chunk of his paycheck percentage-wise. If you have a good income, then you don't feel it. Our sages say, look to the future, save up, buy insurance. That's another mistake young people make. They figure they don't have to buy life insurance. That's wrong. Once you're married, you need life insurance. And when you're young, it's not expensive. Like I said to a friend, you know, for 30 shekel a month, you could have life insurance. Why shouldn't you give you and your wife that security? 30 shekel a month, you can afford. So you can have a 500,000 shekel in life insurance. It's something. A person has to realize that things change. You cannot assume you'll have that job for the rest of your life. And if a person thinks that way, when a person treats his home, he should calculate his expenses in a modest, average way. A person's expenses should match his income. Very often, we allow ourselves to buy a fancier car than we can really afford. A fancier car than our socioeconomic status allows us. We invest in something that we really can't afford, and a person shouldn't do that. And even if Hashem has blessed the person, that he's very wealthy, why a person shouldn't wear extra fine silk? He's hurting himself. If a person wears garments that are much better than everyone else's, what's going to happen is he's going to be arrogant. גם מגרה ביצר הרע בנפשו, גם גורם שאחרים שאין ידם עסק דירו ממני וירצו לעשות כמעשהו. He causes himself to have improper inclinations. He causes others to want to compete with him, to spend what they cannot afford. בסוף שלובים ואינם משלמים או גוזלים וחומסים. And then when you have a society where there's this constant pressure, so what happens? People end up taking loans, which they don't pay off. People end up taking money, which is not rightfully theirs. And you see this in the area of smachot. People make a bar mitzvah. So once upon a time, I remember bar mitzvah was in the back of the shul. You had to make kichlach. What do you call those things? Baked, you know, like the dry rugelach with a little bit of sugar powdered on top. Kichlach, you had a little bit of whiskey. You made a little event. Then it became, no, you have to make a bigger event. Then it became a bigger event with the smorgasbord. Then it became a bigger event with the smorgasbord and everyone has to go home with a bencher. And now we're at a point where I sometimes go to bar mitzvahs that are more fancy than my wedding. You go to a bar mitzvah. I've gone to bat mitzvahs, which were at halls here in central Jerusalem. You look at it and say, what's going on? I went to bar mitzvah that was at a hall with streams and fountains and... you say, what's going on here? But the pressure, what happens is, when one person does it, he ups the notch for other people.
That's the danger. People should, or the rabbim should say, well, that's
they have said. Yeah. I mean, we have a lot of institutions that, you know, the Gerer Rebbe forbade his students from buying in Jerusalem and buying in Bnei Brak. Said, you want to buy your kids an apartment, it has to be in a cheaper location. Rav Steinman keeps yelling the same thing. So the Chafetz Chaim said, firstly, a person has to look to the future. Hey, a person shouldn't be spending money like there were no tomorrow. You never know what your financial situation tomorrow will be. A person should spend his assets with mediocrity. A person should be balanced in his expenses. And even if a person is wealthy, he shouldn't buy extra expensive stuff because ultimately it hurts himself, it makes him more arrogant, and it hurts others because it pressures them to keep up with him. Now, I as a youngster, I was a little bit involved in chesed organizations and in fundraising. And I remember walking away and I was very convinced that I've yet to see someone who had wealth who used it well. I saw so many wealthy people. There was one person who we were trying to fundraise by who was on the front page of the New York Times when the stock market crashed. They wrote then that he lost $500 million. Now, this goes back 40 years ago. So $500 million, I mean... on this... okay, that's like how much? I don't know how many billion that is today. These were big people, but you looked at their kids and you looked at what money did to their homes and you said to yourself, boy, not a good idea. And then one time we got a huge donor. I didn't bring him in. Someone else brought him in. And I was sent to deliver something to his house. And I come to this broken down house among everyone else that looks like the least kept house. And I knock on the door, and you see the door hasn't been painted in ages. And they come down, and you see the simplest-looking people. And I said to myself, I must have the wrong house. So I'm delivering the package, and I call the guy who sent it. And I said, you know, I knocked on the door, I did what you said, and I went to the address you said. But are you sure that's the address? This is the age before cell phones, guys. Okay, so Sam, he says to me, yeah. I said, you know, that house didn't look like a guy who would be funding food for the poor for a few weeks. He said to me, right, isn't that amazing? Look at him. Isn't that amazing? You're exactly right. That's what's amazing about this person. He brings up his kids with modesty. He lives with modesty. And the wealth God has blessed him with, he uses wisely. I saw this twice. I saw this by this person. And I saw it by, there was a rabbi who inherited millions and millions of dollars. And I had the good fortune of learning in the same yeshiva he learned and taught in. And once I went to see, I was in the apartment he slept in, and he'd come in during the week, he'd sleep overnight while he was learning, and then he'd go home at the end of the week. So I look at the bed, and guys, your beds here are like the Hilton compared to his bed. A little mattress that's already all worn out and springs underneath that are already sagging to the floor. I looked at the desk he would learn by, and it's, you remember those school desks we used to sit by, like wood on top and this metal on bottom? He picked it up like from a garbage bin. You know what chair he sat on? One of these old school chairs. Hey, and this is how he's learning. Now, the guy owns buildings. The guy owns real estate throughout the country. But when he's spending money for himself, he doesn't need all of that. He lived simply. Simply. So there you saw, wow, okay, that he succeeded, Baruch Hashem, succeeded with the chinuch of his kids. He succeeded in many aspects of life. But most people, like the Chafetz Chaim says, either they spend beyond what they can afford, or if they can afford it, then why not spend it? Why not wear the fancy clothing? I once asked him, he had a checkered shirt. So I asked him, I said, where can you get a shirt like that? I want to teach the kids what the Kohen Gadol's checkered shirt looked like. So he said to me, no, this isn't checkered. These are creases because this shirt is older than you are, young man. So he was wearing a shirt for over 20 years. He could afford more than that, but why spend it on that? You know, when necessary, he used it to help the poor. He funded many, many orphans. But that, says the Chafetz Chaim, even if a person can afford it, a person shouldn't be spending his money to raise the bar, to make competition, to get people to spend more. You know, if you spend, so he's got to spend. This is hard. You know, it's much easier said than done. At the end of the day, it's much, much easier said than done. Yeah.